Hi, this is Mike McNamara, and you're listening to All Marine Radio on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
Frank Sinatra, either. It's not Whitey Ford, the chairman of the board. Bruce Springsteen. Okay, hold on. You have to listen to him rip the harmonica. You ready? We're going to do this again. Everybody pay attention, okay? Normally this is my mood music, right? So when you hear this, that's fired up, happy. All right, angry. Yep. All right, deeply troubled. Pissed off, angry. You say you want it. What kind of scream is that? What was that? That's like a Howard Dean scream, for God's sake. And I don't know, this is just in here because I like it. No reason. Lighthouse, Hanging by a Moment. So my mood music, and let me tell you why I'm fired up today. So I'm laying in bed, I don't know, 90 minutes ago, maybe less. And I look at my phone. I'm scrolling down notifications. Right? No. Garbage. Oh. This from somebody who got turned on. Okay, so let me give you the 5 degrees of separation in this. All right, the 5 degrees of separation are Marine Corps Sergeant Major connects to a chaplain who hears about some data that the chaplain's unit is putting up. Right, has to do with suicides dropping. Suicide attempts dropping 65%, right, in a unit, right? Which normally gets somebody's fucking attention, right? Right? Unless you're committed to having your head up your ass, which a lot of people are, right? So, chaplain contacts a sergeant major. Sergeant major says, yeah, call this dude McNamara. So I get this email from the sergeant major saying, hey, Mac, I got your name, blah, 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 blah. So I connect with Sergeant Major. Sergeant Major, I mean, honestly, one of the smartest things I've done in a while is create that. I haven't filmed it yet. I'm actually getting ready to, but created kind of a video presentation of post-traumatic winning, because what it allows me to do is show people. And now when I film it with me doing it, fuck, man, I'm a fuck their ass up. So anyway, in a very, very good way. Okay. Because again, you know, people who they're in the darkness, man. They do not see the light, and they keep going into that coal mine and going into that coal mine. Is this what's left for me? As Stacy Falzerano says, is this me for the rest of my life? I'm the strongest person I know, and I'm fucking lost. Like 10 motherfuckers. And then all of a sudden, boom, McNamara, right? Turns the fucking light on and says, that way there. You. And they see it, and it makes sense, right? The flat black traumatic wisdom. Hold on, I like the ending of this song. So I'll read you a part of the letter, okay? Now all of a sudden, like electricity through my body, right? Somebody just got their life changed. So anyway, the chaplain puts me in touch with this woman. Hold on. I'm falling even more. Okay, so that brings some, I would, you know, there's some things, like I like music, obviously, and I'll watch videos of these songs, and there's some cool moments. Hold on, let me write myself a note to make sure I talk about this. I need to talk about sewing, too, right? But there's a couple things in videos that I see and think, man, I'd love to do that. Anyway, I get an email from this woman. You don't know me, but I was referred to you. I spoke to Chaplain, won't say his name. Names are changed to protect the innocent. So, and he said I should get in touch with you. And that came after she tried to access the video, but you can't access the video unless I give you permission, right? So it's in limited distro, as filmmakers like to say. Not that I'm a filmmaker, but I'll use their phraseology. So anyway, I immediately get up and I come back here and I email her back and I say, hey, I would love for you to see it. And so that was like Saturday night, Friday night or Saturday night, like late on, she's on the East Coast. And so she sends me an email here a little bit ago. And so I'll read you a few snippets of the email. And again, to accentuate the cool life that I live. And it's no bullshit either. The cool, inspiring life that I live, that all these people have led me to. And so I'll read you I sent the two bozos an email too. She says, as I indicated in my original outreach, I'm the surviving partner of, she gives her husband's name. I reached out as a recommendation of Chaplain X. I understand you crossed paths with my husband while in Iraq. I hope that's true. He was a hell of a guy. In our relationship, I was originally the Grinch and he was the one that helped my heart grow three sizes. As we approached the year mark of losing him, I've been thinking about how I want to work to honor him and live life with this bigger heart as I move forward. The chaplain thought we should connect. I worked through the presentation over the weekend. In short, thank you for your work. My husband could have taught a master class on faking it. Nothing breaks my heart more than knowing he felt alone while surrounded by people who adored him and wanted to hear what he had to say. Your work also resonates with me on a professional level. I live in D.C., work as a conflict and stability advisor with a focus on blah, blah, blah. My background framed two specific reactions to your presentation. First, I agree that sustained community approaches are critical. I work with traumatized populations in area where there are not doctors, let alone therapists and psychologists. We focused on community-based approaches for psychosocial support with straightforward training for sustained support. This helped on a range of issues. Decreasing domestic violence, preventing violent extremism to reintegrating child soldiers back into communities. For years, I've contemplated how to transfer these lower-cost community-based approaches to the U.S. To the U.S. Now, with seeing how people react to me losing my husband, it is clear we are a grief and trauma illiterate society. I see your work as literacy to incorporate hard truths into our lives and function stronger together. Second, because of my background, I've been honored by a number of active and former military trusting me with some hard stories. I've seen and tried to counter a pattern of anticipatory grief, assumptions that a full lifelong disorder is inevitable after trauma. I deeply believe the medical profession and military community, let alone the broader society, have not yet begun to understand the consequences of a lack of understanding about the pathology disorder part of PTSD. I do not have a particular ask or a plan at this moment. I'd like to talk to you. So, connecting with smart people and having that work resonate, and all of a sudden their brains are working like, how do we use this vehicle to communicate this powerful truth to a culture that is in denial about it, right? And so, so my life is, right, I'm laying my ass in bed, getting ready to get up, and all of a sudden, you know, this thing happens, and it's just the best, right? It's just the best. I don't know any other way to describe it other than it is simply the best. And then all of a sudden you're collaborating with somebody like that. Somebody who in her own orbit has felt these same things. And all of a sudden, you know, the chaplain that turned her on to it, what he said to me after he watched it, well, actually he hadn't even seen it yet. He's talking to me and we talked for about an hour and a half and he said, finally, somebody that gets it, that gets the whole thing. I said, oh, I get it. Trust me. And he said, holy shit, man. He said, this is awesome. So, I mean, so that's the start of my morning today. So exciting. And so, yesterday, there's this, I kind of, in reading, this is kind of funny, in reading the New York Times, the story about Barry Weiss leaving the New York Times, in reading her resignation letter, and in reading some other things about that, one of the things that I learned was there's this thing that they're, you know, these very organized people are referring to, and it's called Slack. And I had no fucking idea what it was, which got me inquisitive. And being the inquisitive person I am, so I checked out, well, what is Slack? And so Slack is a platform that you use. It might be a topical conversation. You can make it for a business, right? So you join my business, you get a Slack account, and we may post things, you know, relative to the whole business to have a discussion about. There may be section specific topics that are private and limited to the people in there as they collaborate and work on those things. So anyway, it's a way to at least organize thoughts about a specific project as opposed to sorting through your emails to try to find that. So I was looking at it. So I fired that thing. I fired that thing up yesterday. And so the things that post-traumatic winning is going to be, right? I think are very exciting. Post-traumatic winning is going to leave the orbit of the military shortly. When Stacy and I published the book. So that's in the offing. I would say sometime after the first part of the year. And so the next part of that is working on a play that goes into communities with a guy named Brad Sherwood up in Grand Forks, North Dakota. Brad is he's now a retired teacher, but he's a theater guy. But he understands how to develop young people. And he's a coach. He just happened to do it in theater, not in sports. And so there's a lot of people like that, you know, they wear the mantle coach, although they don't do things athletic. So working on that. I'm also working on developing, you know, I worked with the Bar X project. And last year, but I have a bigger plan than I think anybody. I have a bigger plan than I think anybody I know. And so, you know, I talked to Tim Lynch, who initially brought that idea to me. Hey, man, you need to get involved in these weekend things. And I talked to Tim yesterday, and I said, hey, I've got an idea. And I need to create the concept of the operation and send it to you, and we need to begin to kick it around, which I'm using Slack for. But it is a weekend program. And so Tim, no stranger to him, he went to one, right? And he's the one that brought me to this one. So I said, but here's the concept, right? And I give him the concept. You know, we may bring people that have some relationship together. They may have been in the same unit. And this is where I kind of fucked him. This is where I fucked him up. I said, they may work in the same hospital. And he said, oh my God. I said, yeah, boom. I said, but you know what I saw, the dare I say, intimacy that comes with that. That you're not, you know, and I mean, those programs are good anytime, but I think they're so much better when you're there with people that in some way, shape, or form, you know, right? You work in the same hospital. Maybe you work in the same ER. Maybe you're on the same shift, right? And you're with, you know, a dozen people like that. And so there's this built-in familiarity. And so I said, but that's not required. Maybe we do a weekend for widows. And now Tim's going, holy shit. I said, yeah. I said, that's where this is going. I said, and I mean, it already has numbers, right? I mean, I can present this to anybody who's a prospective donor and tell them that we're not just, this is not a point-to-point thing. What these people are going to do are what the chaplain has done, what the sergeant major did, what this woman who wrote me the letter, the email this morning is going to do. And that is, they're going to take this, and they're going to go back into their communities, and they're going to infect their community with it. And this virus, this beautiful virus, is going to infect that community. So that's an effort. That's an effort. The YouTube channel is another outreach effort, right? The YouTube channel ultimately will be a teaser and an amplifier to get them to come buy the book, right? Buy the video, and come to the light and see what you're capable of in your life. So all those things go on, are going on like simultaneously. And I'm struggling too. I won't say I'm struggling. It's a fight to make sure, like I have a slide. It's a quad slide with all those things on the slide. Where I'm at today, what do I have to do in these four functional areas? And there's a fifth one. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different areas, right? So anyway, so that's my life this morning. The sewing. You may or may not know this, but I like to sew. Yeah. I like to sew by hand. And I also like to sew by machine, which I am proficient at. Most people don't know that about me. And not that I'm a closet sewer, because I'm proud of my skills. I learned my skills. My mother taught me to sew. I believe the first thing I ever sewed was a button on my G.I. Joe equipment. Back in the day when we had the big G.I. Joes, right? And they came with clothes, uniforms, man. My guy had his dress blues. I had Army guys. I had Brit guys. These things were like huge, right? And you dressed them, and then you changed their uniforms, and you gave them their rifle and hand grenades, and they put a backpack on them and all kinds of shit. So I had those. And and so the little snaps would come off, which didn't make me happy. So I went to my mother, and I said, can you help me? And she said, well, I'll teach you how to sew that back on. I said, okay. So I learned how to sew. I don't even know how old I was. I was probably not more than 5 or 6 years old. Then that went to sewing buttons on my school shirt that would be ripped off, doing whatever. I wouldn't have to go to corporal punishment Kathleen to get her to do that shit for me. I'd repair my own stuff. Then in the Marine Corps, I'd mess with my gear, cut it, you know, do something with it, trick it out, you know, create a strap that isn't here, but put it there and then sew it. Then as my kids started playing hockey, I became the president of the hockey club, and we bought uniforms, and they were great looking uniforms. But we had, in order to get the actual look that we wanted on the uniform, I had to sew. Machine sew. Yeah. Because they were twill numbers. So when you look at great looking uniforms, I don't know if they still do it now, but they used to be, that was sewn twill onto a jersey. And normally a mesh jersey, twill, and the twill is 3 layers. So you had to sew one number, you had to sew it 3 times. If it was a black jersey, it was, in our case, a white base with a green second layer. Is that how it went? White, green, and black number? I don't know, something like that. I can't remember. It was a 2 or 3 color twill. And so I learned how to sew. I learned how to sew with a sewing machine. Boom. So, yeah, I have skills. So last night I was sewing. And like all things manual labor, like that makes me happy. The other quick comment about there's a video. Santana's videos are always really cool, right? He's a cool dude. And so his videos, I mean, to me, they don't sound like anybody else's, all right? And so here's one of them. So this is Michelle Branch singing in front of him. So this is Carlos Santana right here. So when in his videos, you see the guys in his band? Yeah, if you could imagine. You see her, she's playing the guitar, not trying not to smile, right? Like, hey, I'm playing with Carlos Santana. Like, are you kidding me? How do you wipe the grin off your face? Right? So then they show the guys in his band playing. I mean, could you imagine being in that band? Yeah. And I was thinking, I was watching last night. I'm like, I wish I could do that. Right? Right? To be in Carlos Santana's band. My channel screwed up. Yeah, I don't know if that's my headset. If you could. All right. With that, we shall begin the show. We'll check the news. There's some interesting stuff in the news today. So, good morning to you. United States Marine Corps Band makes the 20th day of October. Yeah, how about that? Almost to November. Yikes. Makes it official. Good morning. Dedicated to somebody who I've never spoken to yet, but actually dedicated to a sergeant major and a chaplain who changed somebody's life. And so, you know, in keeping, let me read before, in the dedication, it's only appropriate that I read what I wrote to them this morning. I wrote to them, it's entitled, You Two Rubes, right? And it says, I received an email less than an hour ago proving the ancient Tibetan proverb, the sun shines on a dog's ass every once in a while, correct. You two clowns are changing someone's life. And so then I put a few snippets of the email. And then at the end of it, I write, nice going, boys. I don't have to provide any encouragement because I know what's in your heart. Proud to know you. Don't fuck it up, Mac. So this is dedicated to a sergeant major and chaplain who changed somebody's life, which will in turn change other people's lives. So to them, nice going. Don't screw it up.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time to check the weather. Currently, in Quantico, cloudy and 63. Camp Lejeune down the coast, partly sunny, 72. 29 Palms, sun and 71. Uh-oh, getting colder. Camp Pendleton, cloudy and 65. That's pretty normal. Dark cloudy, 75 in Hawaii. Dark cloudy, 79 in Okinawa. Down under in Darwin, it is dark cloudy and 80. And in Norway. In Oslo, it is raining and 39 degrees. That is a look at your weather. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll check out today's news headlines. And again, I want to give you that RAND website. I think you should, along with me, you should do a little exploring, because I think – it's very interesting that somebody is doing a project on. In fact, I thought about it, like, why wouldn't other people be doing the same project? And the project is called Truth Decay. Yeah, T-R-U-T-H, Decay. And done by the RAND Corporation. So I don't, I'm not sure what I'll find there. I'm not sure that I'll agree with it, but I do know this. The absence of truth in the things we discuss, things that one side thinks that are absolutely true and the other side says, oh, no, and they're straight up dismissive of it. And the Hunter Biden thing is illustrative of it, right? The Republicans saying, aha, this proves that Joe Biden's a liar. The Democrats saying, look, it's part of another Russian disinformation program using Rudy Giuliani, a pawn shop or a computer repair store, blah, 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 blah. Okay. And so, yeah. So if you're on one side of the aisle, you believe one thing. If you're on the other, and we don't have adults that say, yeah, you know what? That's true. We don't have reporters that concern themselves first with the truth anymore. The first concern is the narrative. And then we shape events to fit the narrative, because that's the world that we're convincing people that we should be living in. So undertaking the study of how does this happen, right? What are we doing in education that's fostering young people that don't ask hard questions about the truth, that they forward the latest headline they see on social media? So anyway, and most importantly, how do we fix it? How do we fix it? So anyway, we will take a look at the news and probably a little bit of that project as well. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on a Tuesday. Oh, let me tell you what we're going to talk about today. You're going to meet a guy named Lieutenant Colonel Tad Drake. He's written a piece of the Marine Corps Gazette called The Fantasy of MCDP-1, which is the foundational right, principles of the Marine Corps. So you will hear from him. And that will happen in about 24 minutes or so. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
We used to get together every week. She's been home from her last deployment for months now, and I haven't seen her once.
He's just been different since he got back from Iraq. One minute he's ready to go, and the next he doesn't want anyone around.
The nightmares are back and seem to be getting worse. Shouldn't he be sleeping better after all these years?
A lot of people don't understand what veterans go through during their service or when they come back, and that's okay.
But everyone can help.
You can make a difference in the life of a veteran.
You stood by us when we were in uniform, so stand by us now.
Like my brother did, and he wouldn't take no for an answer.
Like my wife did when she asked the right questions.
Like my friend did when she made the call.
Take a stand for those who served our country.
If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, the Confidential Veterans Crisis Line is here for you. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
America's service members and veterans are strong, forged out of bravery, sacrifice, and duty. They are diverse, unique, from all corners of the country, and thanks to their common experience, a family for life. But whether they served in lands far away or communities close to home, some of these men and women may face difficult times or even crisis, but sometimes reaching out for help can be the most challenging and worthwhile mission of all for veterans, service members, reserve, and National Guard. Thankfully, friends, family, and communities are standing by their service members and veterans now more than ever. We're all in this together. When you recognize something isn't right, make the call to the Veterans Crisis Line or Military Crisis Line. During times of crisis, reach out and call. Dial 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 or chat online at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
Hi, I'm Gary Sinise. Our veterans put everything on the line to protect our freedom. We may never be able to repay them for their sacrifice, but we can show them just how much we appreciate all they've done. You can help by simply sharing your time, lending a warm smile, a supportive hand, or a sympathetic ear to someone who needs it. Everyone can do something to make veterans know just how much we appreciate their service. Please visit www.volunteer.va.gov. What will you do?
We all share a common journey. We wanted to serve our country, stand for something bigger than ourselves, and protect the things we love. Although we were ready to face any mission, help those in need, and make a difference, for some of us, coming home was more of a challenge than we expected. In the service, we had each other's backs. But as veterans, it can sometimes feel like we're all alone, even when surrounded by our loved ones.
If you're a veteran or service member in crisis, or know one who is, call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All right, ton of news today. At the top of the fold, the Marine Corps Times, Marine Corps General under investigation for using a racial slur is relieved of duty. Major General Stephen Neary has been relieved of command of U.S. Marines in Europe and Africa while the service investigates allegations he used a racial slur that denigrates black people, the Marine Corps said on Tuesday. Marine Commandant David Berger relieved Neary on Monday due to a loss of trust and confidence in his ability to serve in command, the Marine Corps said in a statement. The Marine Corps previously said the investigation was connected to the use of a racial slur, but declined to go into detail. You know what? The incident occurred in August on the parade field outside Marine Corps Forces Europe and Africa headquarters in Böblingen, Germany. A Lance Corporal who was present told Stars and Stripes that Neary used the N-word while Marines were doing physical training outdoors with loud music playing. Some of the rap music incorporated the word, which prompted Neary to ask the junior Marine how they would feel if he said it, the Lance Corporal said. The Marine, who spoke on condition of anonymity for fear of retribution, said black, white, and Latino Marines were jolted when the general said the word. Even if Neary was attempting to be instructive about the taboo nature of the word, it came as a shock to hear it from a white general officer, the Lance Corporal said. He lost respect right there, the Marine said. As the weeks passed, Neary remained in command. Several Marines brought the matter to the attention of Stars and Stripes. So, this falls into, in my opinion, again, I don't know because I don't have the details of the investigation, but let me, so he's walking by, or maybe he's in his office, and he hears loud music. And part of the loud music is using racial slurs. So he approaches the group to talk to them about it because he doesn't think it's appropriate. And in talking about it, him using the word, so it's okay for you to listen to it, to blast it all over the place. But if I walk up to you and I ask you about it and I use that word, that gets me relieved? This is kind of, in my opinion, woke bullshit. I'd love to hear. Let me tell you. Here's my experience with general officers. They don't say shit, okay? They don't say shit. They are the most guarded group of human beings on the planet. That's why you hear so few on All Marine Radio. And those that, you know, will tell you, well, you know, I need the list of questions and this, that, and that. It's a waste of time unless you just want boilerplate nonsense. And so I would love to hear General Neary's side of this. General Neary goes out there to correct that, to point out that, look, we live in a day and age where that word's not appropriate. How would you feel if I use that word? Oh, and they're absolutely revolted by it, right? And their woke asses then go to Stars and Stripes to get him fired. And so you do the investigation, and he says, look, I'm using a word that they're blasting all over the base. And I'm asking them, how would they feel if I use that word? And that gets me fired. So I don't know all the facts in it. But to me, this is the woke nonsense, right? The tyranny of the minority. And in my opinion, General Berger, right? Here's what General Neary got told. Right now, given the climate in this country, we can't even have the appearance of tolerating this stuff. So you've got to go. Wait a minute, sir. Just so I have this straight in my head. I went over there to correct them. I asked them a question. How would they feel if I used that word as a senior to a subordinate? And the mere use of that word that they're blaring, so that means they're endorsing it. The music they listen to, the music they're playing for everybody as they do some form of PT with music. That's all right. And that's what I'm trying to point out, and you're going to fire me for that. Yeah, you got it right. You're done. So, again, and again, this goes back to why won't the Marine Corps tell the story, the race story of the Marine Corps, which means we get what we get from our recruiting. Now, so the issue is our recruiting. That's the issue. Percent of the force is black. We grow that to 19% of the force with our senior staff NCOs. Hispanic community more, so that we, between black and Hispanic, the Marine Corps is, I want to say, 19 and 20, 39%. The Marine Corps staff NCOs, senior type, close to 40%. That's 10% more than the general population. So that's what the Marine Corps is trying to do. And that's not even, I didn't put Asians and other minorities in there. So it's more than 40%. But the only thing that gets pointed out in the article is that only 7% of general officers are black. That's the only thing. The most glaring racial number is somehow or other, I believe, 8% of officers at the rank of lieutenant to captain are Hispanic. That number drops by 50% by the time we get to the general officer level. That's probably the most glaring statistical, but that's not mentioned, right? That's not mentioned. But why wouldn't the Marine Corps tell that story instead of allowing this narrative that somehow the Marine Corps is just, white, good old boys network and blah, 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 blah. Why don't they push back? Well, Mac, you don't understand. You can't push back. That's a fool's errand. You don't want to fight that fight. So just let it go. Let the article come and go. And that'll be our strategy. Wow. It's somewhere along the line. I thought the truth was important. Evidently not. And so, again, I don't know what happened with General Neary. I do know this. General officers are pretty guarded when they go speak. So he's going out there to correct something, and he gets relieved for it. Well, that makes sense in our woke society. Next story in Stars and Stripes. Army captain arrested, charged with murder in the death of a fellow Fort Bliss officer. Unbelievable. An Army captain has been arrested, charged with murder in the death of another captain at Fort Bliss with whom she had a romantic relationship. Captain Clevy Nelson Royster, 27, is the second person charged in the death of Captain Malcolm Perry, 27. Perry died at 5:50 a.m. when the Audi A4 that he was driving was rammed intentionally by a Jeep Wrangler until it flipped and burst into flames on a road in East El Paso. Minutes before the crash, Perry called 911, told the dispatcher, "I'm going to die." The driver of the Jeep, Richard Mustafa Sinisi, 23, was arrested Wednesday morning of last week, was also charged with murder. Nelson Royster was a passenger in the Jeep, according to police. They met at a local bar in October before going to a strip club where they saw the guy they killed, Perry. Nelson Royster told police she had been in an off-and-on relationship with Perry over the course of the last 5 years. El Paso Times reported that they followed Perry back to his apartment. Wow. Unbelievable. We talked yesterday about a paratrooper posting a video of himself on TikTok. Right? Airborne paratrooper's TikTok video could be a safety violation, the Army says. You think? Nah, hey, it's whatever he does while he's parachuting is his business, so leave him alone, right? For the third time this year, a Navy destroyer enters the Barents Strait. The U.S. has once again sent a warship into the Barents Sea, in which is becoming a new normal this year, as Navy surface vessels navigate waters not visited since the height of the Cold War. The USS Ross entered the Barents Sea on Monday. So, yeah, us doing Navy shit vis-a-vis the Russians. This is a huge story. Next time Grant's on, we'll ask him about it. U.S., India, Japan, and Australia plan annual Malabar naval exercise amid tensions with China. Next month's Malabar naval drills will include the Australian Navy, will include Australian naval vessels for the first time in 13 years, India's Ministry of Defense announced on Monday. The annual exercise comes as India contends with a simmering border dispute with China and the United States rotates warships to the South China Sea, a sore spot in U.S.-Chinese relations. So let me tell you, that's the path, is with our partners, with our allies, blah, blah, blah. I mentioned this in terms of, is there really any reason for, you know, for Stars and Stripes to exist when this is one of the top stories? Combat support, ha, 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 ha. The Army looks to field better sports bras. Let me tell you, most of the gear that people get issued that's important is kept in a bag. And people buy their own commercial variants that are better. In this age in which, you know, we're all conscious of military general officers in particular, right, venturing into politics, everybody concludes, or I won't say everybody, a lot of people think that that's a bad thing. The chairman, the former chairman, Joe Dunford in particular. Admiral William McRaven, Biden will make America lead again. Right. Right. That's in the Wall Street Journal today. Huge story this morning. The Justice Department files a Google antitrust lawsuit. That is in the news this morning. And that's a big deal. Let me tell you, for whatever reason, the tech companies, I think, are going to face a day of reckoning because they have too much power. And I think everybody has concluded that. The Justice Department filed an antitrust lawsuit Tuesday alleging that Google engages in anti-competitive conduct to preserve monopolies in search and search advertising that form the cornerstone of its vast conglomerate. The long-anticipated case filed in a Washington, D.C. federal court marks the most aggressive U.S. challenge to a company's dominance in the tech sector in more than two decades, with the potential to shake up Silicon Valley and beyond. Once a public darling, Google attracted considerable scrutiny over the past decade as it gained power, but has avoided a true showdown with the government until now. The department alleged that Google, a unit of Alphabet Incorporated, is maintaining its status as gatekeeper to the internet through an unlawful web of exclusionary and interlocking business agreements that shut out competitors. The government alleged that Google uses billions of dollars collected from advertisements on its platform to pay mobile phone manufacturers, carriers, and browsers like Apple to maintain Google as their preset default search engine. The upshot is that Google has a pole position in search of hundreds of millions on American devices, with little opportunity for any competitors to make broad inroads. according to the government. So that's a big story in the news today. From USNI News, unmanned systems could track and fight submarines at less cost than manned ships and planes. Oh, go figure. You mean we're going to stick these little drones? We're going to stick these little drones on people, and they're going to track them and then kill them right away? Yep. That's the way that thing works, man. That's the way that thing works. So that article by Megan Eckstein, who we like. Next headline, USNI News. China arming Venezuelan Navy with anti-ship missiles. Well, first of all, all that does is put a target on the Venezuelan Navy, and they don't really need that. Here's the first paragraph. Venezuela's propaganda videos are showing off warships armed with new Chinese-made anti-ship missiles. The C-802 Alpha missile supplied by Beijing to the Venezuelan Navy is designed to take out surface ships at ranges over 100 nautical miles. The sea-skimming missile is generally analogous to the Harpoon. This arms deal should greatly increase the reach and potency of President Nicolas Maduro's Navy. All it does is get him sunk quicker, honestly. And, the Venezuelan Navy, not so much. You know, this is the art of the arms deal, right? Sell them arms that you know their major adversary can defeat. It's what gets done with Taiwan. It's what gets done with the Ukraine. So you can sell them your B-level stuff, knowing that the adversary can defeat B-level stuff. Makes the country feel better about itself, allows them to modernize a little bit, but, you know, gives a little shot in the arm to your defense sector, but you don't really piss off your rival. That's the art of all that. Next headline. Navy claims victories in modernizing public yards while Congress questions the pace. I don't know if this is part of the Navy charm offensive, but the Navy's got a dry dock problem, right? And that affects maintenance, overhauls, and all kinds of stuff. Last week, the service announced it had started to digitally map the layout of its centuries-old Norfolk Naval Shipyard as it seeks to bring new technology and a more efficient workflow to the public yards. While service officials have pointed out to the Shipyard Infrastructure Optimization Plan, PSIOP, as it's known, as a way the Navy is pushing for modernization and efficiency in its yards and facilities to enhance throughput and readiness, some lawmakers have voiced concerns about the plan's timeline. So anyway, that is in the news. But again, huge issue. You know, things that we don't talk about much, right? You know, your dry dock capacity and also, right, your strategic lift. All the strategic lift that got kept got exercised last spring. 40% of it got underway. 40% of it got underway. That might be a problem. What are you paying all that money for? If you're paying it to companies that can't perform. Now, interestingly enough, Marine Corps Times doesn't have a story about General Neary being relieved. Their top story is Marines versus China. The Corps just put these tactics to the test. What tactics? Guarding missiles? Right? With your earplugs in, hoping they don't find you and blow your ass away? Right? Exercise Noble Fury saw grunts with 1-2 capture a small airfield on the island of Aishima, Japan, as part of an Expeditionary Advanced Base Operation, or EABO. The airfield, that's the same shit we've always done. So what's new? They brought HIMARS in? It's the same shit we've been doing out there forever. But again, here's the problem. How are you getting there? On your ship? Let me tell you, if they could use drones to track ships, what do you think they're going to do with your little boats? Yeah, it ain't going to be pretty. So if they're using drones to track submarines and kill them, what does that mean for your surface combatants? Not pretty. So anyway, and again, to date, not one retired general officer has come out to support General Berger's plan. So, and we've all seen the Navy shipbuilding stuff. Where are these ships coming from? When are they going to be here? And in the meantime, you've given away your tubed artillery, your tanks, and you've unilaterally cut. Does that money come back? The most senior people I know say, if you trust the Navy, you're dumb. All right, top five stories in early bird, and then we're going to talk to Lieutenant Colonel Thad Drake. And he's written an article called The Fantasy of MCDP-1. He's got some problems with the Marine Corps' base publication. Foundational, right, writing. So we'll talk to him. Top story, Trump administration rejects Putin's offer on nuclear arms deal extension. So that is in the news. Now, that happened last Friday. There's other stories today saying that there might be a breakthrough in all of it. So we shall see. Number two, plans for vets' suicide prevention training. New three-digit emergency mental health crisis line signed into law. So what's the three-digit? 811, 711, 611, 511? The new suicide crisis hotline measure will designate 988 as a universal telephone number for national suicide prevention and mental health crisis services. Is that for veterans or for anybody? Although the call center will not be exclusive to veterans, advocates have championed the idea in recent years as a way to make emergency mental health care more available to veterans. Now, again, we so don't know you. We so don't know what's going on in your life. Please call a 800 number before you kill yourself. Got it. I think there's better ways to go about it, but this obviously makes a splash and whatever. I look at the way the DOD approaches suicide, and we've outsourced it. The DOD has outsourced it. Oh, you got a problem? Go to mental health. Right? So now you consider yourself a Marine. Instead of talking to people inside of your tribe, you're sent outside the tribe to talk to people that aren't in your tribe, who don't identify with your tribe, who didn't hang out with us in high school, didn't party with us in college, and don't find the things funny that we think are funny. Does that help or fracture? Good question. I have sergeant majors who tell me that further fractures people. Our outsourcing. The mental health professional should be our staff NCOs. They should be the mental health professionals. They're the secret to all of this. The officers can create an environment, open doors, things like that. Staff NCOs ought to be the therapist, as they always have been, right? And what do? They love you. They're part of the tribe. You're part of the tribe. What you're going through is a long-standing tribal tradition of struggling. We've done it forever because people have been running away to join the military forever. Get out of a shitty situation. Join the military. Get out of a shitty economic situation. Join the military. Get out of an abusive, environment. Join the military. But I think the outsourcing is a huge, huge problem, man. Number four, National Security Advisor. Despite the Trump tweet, Afghanistan Christmas withdrawal is unlikely. It's interesting. This is in Military Times. Robert O'Brien seems to have his shit together. Now, I don't know him or where he's from, but I only read good things about him. National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien on Friday appeared to take a swipe at General Mark Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, doing nothing to close a rare public disconnect between the president's top national security official and his top uniform officer over troop levels in Afghanistan. The issue emerged on October 7th when O'Brien said he supported a plan to withdraw down to 2,500 troops by early next year. Just days later, Milley downplayed those comments, directly calling O'Brien's numbered speculation that doesn't line up with the ongoing discussions. Quote, "I think that you know Robert O'Brien or anyone else can speculate as they see fit," Milley said on the 12th of October in an interview with NPR. "I'm not going to engage in speculation. I'm going to engage in the rigorous analysis of the situation based on the conditions and the plans that I'm aware of and my conversations with the president." On Friday, O'Brien used an appearance at the Aspen Institute to fire back. Maybe we should listen to that. And emphasize that the 2,500 troop level is very much in play. Quote, "It has been suggested by some that that's speculation." Wah, I wonder who. "I can guarantee you that's the plan of the President of the United States. That's the order of the Commander-in-Chief. That's not speculation." Asked directly about the disconnect between he and Milley, O'Brien didn't back down. "When I speak and talk about troop levels and that sort of thing, look, I'm a staffer. I staff the President of the United States. It's not my practice to speculate. Other people can interpret what I say is speculation or not. But I wasn't speculating then. I wasn't speculating today. And so when I'm speaking for the President of the United States. And I think that's what the Pentagon is moving out and doing." Nice. I like O'Brien. He's a Mick. I'm not much of an Irishman, but what the fuck. He goes on further. We need to listen to the Aspen thing. "We're on a path right now that looks like about 4,500 this fall and at a smaller number in January and February. But if the conditions permitted, look, we'd love to get people out earlier, and I think that's the desire that the president was expressing," O'Brien said. How about that? Love that, right? Confrontation, awesome. Number five, White House official went to Syria seeking an American's release. We've talked about that. Let's see. Overseas operation. U.S. Forces Korea moves to HPCON Bravo. I'm not sure what HPCON is. Bravo. Peninsula-wide amid low numbers of COVID cases in the Seoul area. So that means they're going to do more, which means their COVID cases will go up. And then we'll have another meltdown. So again, keep your eyes on what? Number of fatalities, not number of cases. Okay. After more than 40 years of conflict, Afghans say preventing the next war is vital to ending this one. So again, the Afghan peace, what will happen? Taliban have said they've suspended attacks in Helmand after a U.S. pledge to halt strikes. Well, wait, who hit first? Who hit who first? Knock it off. And normally, the United States doesn't do preemptive attacks during peace talks. I'm not saying, I'm just saying. Story in the Washington Post, ISIS attacks surge in Africa. Pentagon story. Now, the DOD reported that suicides were up 20%. The Army said their suicides were up 30%. Headline, military suicides were up slightly in the first half of this year. The DOD reports 306 suicides in the first and second quarters of this year, which represents a 1% increase from 2019. but it includes a 4% uptick in the period from April to June, as well as a 14% spike on the active duty side. Interesting. The DOD numbers show 81 Army suicides through June and 114 through the end of August, CNN reported, up from 88. So that's 10%, right, during the same 8 months of 2019. So where the hell did that story come from before? I don't know. And you had the Army, you had, I want to say, the Secretary of Defense and the Army. The Secretary of the Army quoted in that previous article. And yet the Air Force saying we're on a track to maintain the 33% that we went up last year, not to come down from that spike. So anyhow, interesting. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We're going to talk about Marine Corps Developmental Publication 1. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial. More of this fine program, and you're going to get a chance to meet Lieutenant Colonel Thad Drake. Coming up next, right here on All Marine Radio, on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's service members and veterans are strong, forged out of bravery, sacrifice, and duty. They are diverse, unique, from all corners of the country, and thanks to their common experience, a family for life. But whether they served in lands far away or communities close to home, some of these men and women may face difficult times or even crisis. But sometimes, reaching out for help can be the most challenging and worthwhile mission of all for veterans, service members, Reserve, and National Guard. Thankfully, friends, family, and communities are standing by their service members and veterans now more than ever. We're all in this together. When you recognize something isn't right, make the call to the Veterans Crisis Line or Military Crisis Line. During times of crisis, reach out and call. Dial 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 or chat online at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.